So how did you first come to work on X-Men 3?
Well, X-Men 3 was, it was really the director just loved the score to the Bourne Identity and the Bourne Supremacy, and he just wanted me. And he fought for me, and, and it worked out. It was the same studio as Ice Age 2, so I was coming straight off that and going on to X-Men, and it was just really his, cheerleading me that it came in. And I'd never done, it was one of those situations where I was not known for doing those kind of films.
Mm-hmm.
And in that case, you do require somebody who can come along and say, I like his score, it's for this film. It might not be the same kind of film, but I think he's going to do something interesting for us on this film. So, and hopefully that's what I did. That's what certainly they said I did.
So now, of course, you're dealing with this is the third time around for the X-Men films. Did you take into account any of the previous musical history when it came to doing the score?
Oh, absolutely. We didn't want to reinvent the wheel. It had to stay part of the family. But in the same way that sort of, if you like everything from number one to number two music, you kind of mutated.
Mm-hmm.
There was another composer who wrote his own themes. But, there was certainly sort of an honor to the first one from one to two, and I wanted to do the same, really. So I sort of picked up where, John Ottman left off and tried to keep it the same family, the same, the same vibe.
Right. So now you often see, well, of course, as a composer, you see the end product of the film long before anybody else does. So does that ruin the music, the movie-going experience for you?
Of the films I've worked on?
Yes.
Yeah, completely. I can't enjoy a film I've worked on because I know what's happening. I know every detail of it, and you sit there. It's very, very hard to get perspective on something you've worked on. I'm not even sure if I could sit down and watch Face Off and enjoy it.
Mm.
I'd still be listening to the music thinking, oh, I could have done that better, or, why did I do this? And I love movies, and I especially love movies I know nothing about. The less I know about them, the more I enjoy them. So, unfortunately, it does mean that the ones I work on, I love them the first time I see them, and often I see them, as I say, without music, and I see them in a very early cut. And in effects-heavy films, you see people standing in front of large green screens and nothing else happening.
Mm-hmm.
Or in animation, you see, I can be working on those when there's still storyboards, and that's tough.
Mm-hmm. So now, because you've done so many films over the years, have you ever been composing for, let's say, like you're working on multiple projects, and you suddenly realize that some of your music from Project A is kind of cross-pollinating across to Project B, or even C?
Well, yeah, I think there's one of the great things is that I think once you start to, get creative on something, it can actually blossom in lots of different directions.
Mm-hmm.
And, part of the job is to obviously make it blossom in exactly the right direction that you want for the movie, but there's always, things that will come out at odd angles, and you're not sure if it'll work for the movie that you're on, and maybe it gives me ideas for other things. I listen to a lot of music,
mm-hmm,
to give me inspiration as well, and lots of other people's music, every kind of music I can think of,
mm-hmm,
and it's amazing where you get inspiration from, and that once you're writing, and it's important to kind of keep the flow going, keep the muse going, and sometimes it's a little bit scattershot. And the best thing is to just sort of hang on to everything and keep reviewing where you are, what you've got. And if it's useful for something else, or if an idea or a style or a texture or a sound is really useful, then, sure, it's going to get, moved into the right place.
Okay. Now, as a composer, your job is, of course, to write music. But do you use silence as a composing tool?
Well, it's one of the most profound things you can do is to stop music if it's been going a while.
Mm-hmm.
It has an incredibly dramatic effect. So if you want to keep music going for the whole 90 minutes of the film, there's something very specific you're saying by doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it takes a lot of dynamic out of the experience for people. And I really don't like it. I think it's you know, it's not the best way of doing it. I think you need, you need valleys and peaks, and one of the, you know, things that you can do is to stop the music for a while to give people a breather, and then it gives you another. It's like a gear change, and, mm-hmm. and you're ready to get off. From another point, it'll make the music's next entry so much more effective.
Right. So now, how would a score that you write today differ from one that you wrote earlier in your career?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it does, other than perhaps, you know, my experiences in the last, 10 years. I mean, not just writing, but, living.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, everything we do brings something to the table. Everything I hear, everything I've heard of, every conversation I've had, it should change it in some way. I mean, otherwise it's going to get really boring.
Mm-hmm. You're working on a Dr. Seuss movie next.
Yes, I'm currently sort of starting the process. I'm back at the sort of the beginning of an animated film that has musical numbers in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's partly just the nature of a Seussian world, and it's partly the nature of this particular story that, the climax of the film is everyone needing to make noise. And we want to organize it in a sort of a musical climax rather than it just being sort of shouting. And, so I'm trying to put together some things for this movie starting right now, even though it doesn't come out for a couple of years. So.
Right. So when you're working on when you're preparing for a project like, let's say the Horton Hears a Who, what kind of research do you do to prepare for this kind of a score?
Well, this one's pretty unusual, I think. I mean, the first research you do is obviously to, read the script, look at everything you can look at, storyboards, and spend a lot of time talking with the filmmakers, and really sort of, I knew the book, I'd read it to my son,
mm-hmm.
and it's a profound story, actually. And then I'm starting to sort of actually kind of make weird, sounds and instruments and try and get a palette together of some sounds that are perhaps, that can inspire me into, into the Seussian world, and then themes, really. I mean, I'm starting to write tunes and melodies that, and trying to work out exactly what their role in the movie could be, so that anything that we establish at this point, is going to have value, even if we're sort of, we don't finish the score, for a year and a half. That's when it finally gets scored, that all the themes are established now and they're right for the movie, and they feel right to everybody, and the style and the tone is right.
Mm-hmm. Well, to my my great delight, you're going to be returning to the Bourne series again.
Yes, the Ultimatum,
well.
Yeah.
So have you started any work on that, or are they still in
production? No, not yet. No, they're shooting in London as we speak, I think. So.
Okay, cool. So anything else in your future?
There's lots of possible things, but, at the moment, I'm just happy to sort of, I bought 3 lengths of copper tubing, and I've been soldering them together in strange shapes and sticking a tuba mouthpiece up one end of them. So I'm at the moment, I'm down the end of the garden, at the end of the yard in the shed,
mm-hmm.
Sort of fiddling like a mad professor, I'm quite happy to do that for the moment.
All right. Well, thanks very much for your time today.
A pleasure.
Very, very, very much appreciated.